Kibel Torah from Sinai. Moshe received Torah from Sinai. Umisorali Yoshua, and he gave it over to Yoshua. Yoshua l'skenim, skenim l'neviim. Uneviim masru l'anshei kineses agdola. Neviim gave it over to the member of the great assembly. Hey, mamu shlosha dvarim. They said three things. Have misunim badin, be deliberate in judgment. Ve'amidu tamidim harbe, and establish for yourself many students. Va'asus yog l'torah, and make a fence, a perimeter around Torah. Says the commentary. Moshe kibel Torah misinai. Moshe received Torah from Sinai. Umisorah liYoshua, and he gave it over to Yoshua. We asked the last time, we ended with the question, what does it mean, Moshe kibel Torah misinai? It should have said Moshe kibel Torah bisinai. Moshe received Torah bisinai. What does bisinai mean? Yeah? Bisinai means what? Yeah, on the mountain. Misinai means what? From Sinai. Moshe didn't receive the Torah from Sinai. He received it bisinai, at Sinai, not from Sinai. So the question is, why does it say Moshe kibel Torah misinai, from Sinai? The commentaries offer a number of very novel and very beautiful insights. Moshe kibel Torah misinai. One of the interpretations is, he said, how is it that Moshe, the humblest of all people, did not refuse to accept Torah? He said, listen, maybe there's somebody greater than me, somebody more apropos, somebody of greater stature. Why is it that I was chosen among all the other people to receive Torah? Remember, during that time, there were great and substantial people. Moshe was not the only person, you understand, of renown or of greatness. So it says, Moshe kibel Torah misinai. Moshe Rabbeinu heard that the mountain that God wanted to give Torah upon was the mountain of Sinai. Now, if we were the ones to have to give Torah, and we were to make a production of this, and this was a production, because the entire world stopped at that moment that Torah was given. Afilu of Pareach b'shamayim. Even the bird that was flying in heaven was stopped. He stopped. It was the moment of the entire purpose of creation. Right? Because it says, Vayihi vayivoker, and it was the evening, and it was the day, Yom HaShishi. Remember when we made Kiddush? It says, Vayihi vayivoker, Yom HaShishi. That's the introduction to Kiddush. What does Yom HaShishi mean? All the other days it says, Yom Echad, Yom Sheni. It doesn't have a Hey Hayidia. Here it has on the sixth day, Hashishi. Says the rabbis, this is not referring to the sixth day of creation, it's the sixth day of Sivan. Vayere vayivoker Yom Hashishi, that this is to speak about that the entire creation was created but for the day that the Jews received Torah at Sinai. I dare say if I was God, of course I would have written a different script. I would have given Torah on Everest. In the Himalayas. I would have given it in the Himalayas. Choose the highest mountain, the most noble peak. And that's the mountain that the world should know that Torah was given on. Pick a little lowly mountain, Sinai, they can't even find it. They don't know where it is. You would imagine, you understand, a nondescript mountain like that. The most glorious moment in the entire history of the world, and you don't even know where it took place. Moshe kibel Torah misinai. Moshe received Torah and accepted it. Misinai. Why misinai? Because he received it from the lesson of Sinai. What was the lesson of Sinai? That God's favor is with those that are humble. God seeks humility. The humble person is the one that God chooses. Moshe Rabbeinu saw from the mountain that God chose to give his Torah, that was an indicator to him the quality that God sees in leadership. God seeks humility. And so therefore Moshe kibel Torah, Moshe received Torah and accepted it because he saw within his own personality, he saw the quality of Sinai. It was God's choice that the humblest are the ones that God favors. Okay? Now, this is, of course, obviously so counter to the world today. Humility is of no virtue today in the world. Right? You know? How different. You know, I was speaking today to some group of people, you know, about the midah of busha, you know, person, you know, that is easily hurt, you know, not to a fault, but he embarrasses, you know, he's embarrassed, you know what I mean? He's edel. Today in the vernacular, he's a nerd. And yet those are the people, you understand, that the Torah favors. All ye nerds gather, you know what I mean? But today, you know what I mean? It's not, you understand, in. You understand? Humility is what the Eibishter loves. Another interpretation, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai going along. I have to tell you a beautiful pshat. The Yeshaya, the Novi, says, Kimola ha'aretz deya. Yeah, the world will be filled. Kimola ha'aretz deya es Hashem. When Mashiach comes, the world will be filled with the knowledge of God. Kamayim, yeah, liyam mechasim. It's expansive, you understand, it's the depths of the what? Of the coverings of the water. You know, most of the world is made of water. It's not earth. It's not land. It says the knowledge that will come to the world when Mashiach comes will be comparable to the bodies of ocean. The waters of the bodies of the ocean, in such great measure, will the knowledge pour forth when Mashiach comes. So I saw brought down in a very beautiful pshat. Why does it choose kamayim liyam mechasim? Why is it that there is so special about the water other than its what? Magnitude? He says very beautifully. He says the water in all places seems to be equal. When one looks upon the water, the expanse of the body of the ocean, then one all sees the same amount of depth. You think that every place where there ever is water finds itself in the same depth. But the truth, it's not so. I once went out fishing. There was a bottle of bus here many years ago. He moved to Florida, took me out on his boat. And we went here from Miami Beach, and we went over the continental shelf. I caught a sailfish there. The water plummets. At a certain point, it goes 1,200 feet down. And he showed me, this is where the continental shelf is. And so if you were to be on one side of it, it would be just, you know, who knows, I mean, 100 feet deep, whatever. All of a sudden, if you were to look under the ocean, you would see an enormous amount of water that falls because the earth is so deep there. So he says, Kilmayim Lev Mechasim. He says, though superficially it looks like the entire expanse of the water is exactly the same and in equal depth, but when you will go down, you will see there are many different levels of depth of the water depending upon the topography of the land. He says, so too it is, he says. A person that's humble has an enormous amount of depth that the Eibishter fills him with tremendous amount of wisdom. A person who is filled with gaiva, it's like the ocean bed is very high by him and the amount of water is very shallow. So though it will look and appear to somebody, the untutored eye, that both people will be able to get an equal measure, it's not true. When Mashiach will come, the wisdom that will pour forth will be only as much as the personality of that person will be able to take. And the person who's humble means he's not filled with himself. There is nothing, it is a void that's there because he doesn't take up his own space. But may all the wisdom is able to be garnered in this person there is an unfathomable amount of depth. You understand? It's the continental shelf by him. The person who is filled with his own gaiva, with his own self, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has very precious little water to be able to bestow upon such a personality. Amos of art. Okay? Okay. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. Moshe received Torah. He learned the lesson of Sinai. I want to tell you a very nice thing that I also saw in the Sefer. He says that when the Torah was given at Sinai, you know that it rumbled. Did you know that the mountain was a fire and it shook? Why did the mountain shake? Does anybody know why the mountain shook? Serena, why did the mountain shake? The mountain shook because of the Yiras Hashem. The glory of God was descending upon it. Chorad, the Yiras Hashem, not the year of the fear of retribution. It's not the fear the mountain was afraid God would punish it. What is the Yiras Hashem? It's the Yiras Haromimus. It's the awesomeness of God to tremble in the presence of the Almighty. It's not out of fear of retribution. It is the awesomeness to be in his presence. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, he saw the way in which to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, serve God b'simcha, figilu birada, and to tremble. You hear? You can tremble and have joy at the same time. They're not exclusive. It's not from a fear. It comes from recognition. It comes from an awesome amount of respect and recognition of the greatness of God. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. Therefore, you know, it says in the Haggadah, Ilu kervanu dayenu. A lot of rabbinical material in Dayenu. Dayenu is terrific. One day I'll get off the Russia and I'll go to Dayenu. The Russia just every year keeps on giving me material. No end. You know, he is really the most charismatic of all the children. Every rabbi gravitates to Russia to try to unravel the mystery of this child. What we have here is in the Dayenu, Ikervanu lifnei har Sinai, if God would have brought us but before Sinai, v'lo nasan lanu es haTorah, he didn't give us the Torah, then what do we say? Dayenu. Now, what would have been sufficient to come before the mount and not to have received Torah? What benefit would it have been to be at the mount without the gift? You tell a kid, if only I could be in front of Camden Yards. Not to go in to see the game, just to see Camden Yards. Los Mentos, you know, the kid would be furious. You hear? Say, we're going on a trip to Camden Yards. You take him, you hear, to the stadium. We're going to go to RFK. We're going to see the Nationals. And you take him to the stadium, it's over now, we're going home. I mean, it'll be a blotter. Il kervanu lifnei har Sinai lahavdil, if Hashem would have brought us before Sinai. And what would he have done? Sent us home. Yeah, dayenu, it would have been enough. Now, why would it have been enough? What would I have learned? If anything, I would have been frustrated. All the way to come to the mountain, just then to turn around. He says beautifully, Ilu kervanu lifnei har Sinai, God brought us before Sinai. And he was seeing the privilege of just Sinai trembling. A domain. Inanimate. If we would have seen Sinai tremble for the Yiras Hashem, that alone would have been worth the experience, even had we not received the Torah itself. Emes. Another interpretation of Yil Karvanu Lifnei Har Sinai. Moshe Kibel Torah miSinai. What's the greatness that he learned from Sinai? Sinai had no, you hear, veg. There was no fruit grew on Sinai. Do you know what the name Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, the great Rabbi Hirsch, wrote a sefer? Does anybody know the name of the sefer that Rabbi Hirsch wrote? Among the many, sorry, he wrote a sefer called Chorev. Chorev is another name for what? Sinai. Chorev is another word for Sinai. The word Chorev comes from the word Chorban. Chorev means desolate. Sinai was desolate. There was no fruit grew at Sinai. Nothing. What's the marshal? What is the purpose? What is the intent? Intent is that even though there was nothing that grew there, yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose that mountain specifically to teach us that by giving us his Torah, it was not his intention that we should serve him, al menas lekabel pras, to receive reward, to receive peros, fruit for our labor. The purpose for which we serve God is just for the privilege of serving him alone. If somebody is chosen for his country, to serve his country, the highest level of service, somebody would go to the president, a malik of presidents, a malik of kings, today is what, right? What would they say? It says, it would be my honor and privilege, but to serve you. Sir Lancelot, I'm sure that's what he said. Yeah, just to be able to serve you, my king. Yeah, that is the greatest reward that I can have. The greatest avodas Hashem is not what the Abish, that trivializes one's avodat Hashem. It is the idea to be able to serve God. That's the greatest privilege, the greatest reward. Not ulterior motives or, you understand, any material or even spiritual benefits that I will get. But just to be able to be in his service. That's the highest madrega. And in fact, it says that in Pirkei Avos, that one should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not like in Eved HaMishamshim as Harav, al menas lekabel pras, to receive reward, but to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, al menas shalom lekabel pras. The Vilna Gaon once said, the Heiliger Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon said, he said, if a mitzvah would get Gehenim, the purgatory, and an Avera would get, you hear, Olam Haba, I assure you I would only do mitzvahs. And I would go down, you hear, with the mitzvahs that I did. It wouldn't bother me. For the privilege to serve my God, irrespective of what the consequence is, that's what I would do. Reshiva told me a gavaltika mice, a terrific story for Moshe Shatzkis. Moshe Shatzkis was one of the great leaders during the war years. During those years in the war, there were a lot of great Moshes to be found in New York City, in America. There was found Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Moshe Shatzkis, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Rav Aaron Kotler, when he came to America, through the Groz Goral. He came originally from Europe. He had a shaila to go to Eretz Yisrael and go to America. He didn't know. In Eretz Yisrael, his father-in-law had a yeshiva there called Eitz Chaim, Rav Yisrael Zalman Meltzer. On the other hand, America needed him. It was a land, you know, that was just first emerging. He didn't know, so he threw the Groz Goral. It's opening the Chumash, the seven different places, seven psukim, and it comes up for people. After it's set over there, and Aaron, yeah, went out to meet his brother Moshe, El HaMidbar, in the desert. This is when, yeah, Moshe is coming from Midian, and Aaron goes out to meet him. Yeah, Moshe goes out, right? They meet each other in the Midbar. He understood the Midbar was America. Aaron was himself, his name was Rav Aaron Kotler, and Moshe, he said, was Rav Moshe Feinstein. He said, of all the Moshes, he's the one. Rav Moshe Shatzkis was nevertheless a great person. And the Rashiva met him once. And he spoke to him many times. He met him. He knew him well. He said to him, you know, after the war, he spoke to him. He says, I don't understand what kind of a job you had. He says, how did you ever sleep at night? How did you function? It was Rav Moshe Shatzkis' responsibility to choose the visas of which people would be given visas in Europe to come to America to be saved. There was a limited amount of visas that were given out, and whoever he gave the visas to, those are the people that were saved. He gave it to young people, older people, Rosh Hashivas, Rabbanim, lay people, children, who would he give it to? He made the decisions. So he said to him, how do you sleep at night? How do you do that? He says, weren't you afraid that you're going to make a mistake? He says, sometimes a leader even has to go to Gehenna for Klal Yisrael. Shiva always tells the story. Sometimes you have to be prepared to go to Gehenna for Klal Yisrael. That means, Shalom Amanas L'Kabal Pras. I serve my God without any expectation of reward, without any remuneration, just to have the privilege to be able to serve Him to the best of my ability. Therefore, it says what language? It says over here, Moshe Kibel Torah. He understood the manner in which to receive Torah. Misinai, from the physical layout of Sinai itself. The fact that there was no growth there. There was no fruit that was there. And that's why it's called Chorev. It's called Chorev. It was desolate from that. God wanted to teach Klal Yisrael, I'm giving you the Torah, but expectation of reward should not be your what? Objective and purpose. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, he received Torah Misinai from the lesson of Sinai, Umisara Yehoshua, and he gave it over to Yehoshua. The commentaries say, what does it mean, Umisara? What is the Torah teaching us? Umisara Yehoshua, what is Birkei Avos teaching me? Moshe again struggles with his identity. How does he receive Torah? How does he put himself in such a position to be the lawgiver? To be the one who receives from God the Torah, such a position, such fame and fortune. How did he do this? It says Chazal, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, he received it from God because he only saw himself as what? As a Mossar. Does anybody know what a Mossar is? Only one who gives it over. It is a relay. Mesira means what? Means I'm only what? I'm a conduit. God gave it to me, and what did I do in return? Not that I was what? Nosan. Let me explain something to you. Nosan is means I have possession of something, and I give it over. It's mine, and I give it. The word nosan also comes from the word matana. What is matana? A gift. What is the definition of a matana? A matana means I own something and I give it to you. It's my present. Mosar is it's not mine. It doesn't say Moshe kibbo v'nosan liyoshua. It doesn't say Moshe received and gave it. Mosar, he transferred it. He passed it on. What does it mean? Moshe just saw himself as a vehicle, as a conduit, as a pass-through. Nothing that Moshe did altered or changed anything. It is called the Mesorah. The whole Torah is called the Mesorah. Why? Because it recognizes that from the time that God gave Torah to Sinai, it was an unbroken chain of what? Of transmission. No alterations. No creativity, but rather it was a process of Mesira. Moshe kibel Torah Misinai. Moshe accepted it at Sinai. You know why? Because Umasa Yehoshua. He just saw himself as an ongoing vehicle to transfer. It's like a relay race, you know? You run this, guy gives you the baton, you pass it on to somebody else, gives it to somebody else, give it to that's the way they did it. Mele Moshe Rabbeinu felt that he was not in any position or put into any uncomfortable situation. He was but the one who transferred it from God to Yahushua. Okay? Moshe kibel Torah umisara liYahushua. Another beautiful pshat. This is terrific. He says, the concept of Moshe kibel Torah misinai Umisora Yehoshua. Could I ask you a question? Serena, you must know this. Let me ask you. The whole religion depends upon one thing. The integrity of one person. That's all the whole religion, the bottom line. And it's one of the 13 animamins. We believe that Moshe received Torah at Sinai. He didn't doctor it. He didn't falsify it. He didn't present it as his own. It was, as he said, he got it from God. The whole chain of the Masorah, everything starts with one conversation of 40 days that God gave Moshe the Torah. That's it. That's the bottom line. The whole superstructure relies on one thing, on one person whose word it is that God spoke to him. There were no witnesses. There were no pictures. There was no recorded message. There was no proof. Period. Nobody that saw that moment in time. No two witnesses. A whole nation waits. He's up there 40 days. Maybe he went up like an Everest. Who knows? You know what I mean? He went up, you know. Who knows? Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Moshe received Torah at Sinai. Well, who says? Prove it. It says Chazal, Umisorah Yoshua. It is the most fervent wish and desire of a parent to be able to transfer their knowledge and what they have to their children. To transfer their title to their children. Moshe Rabbeinu, when God told him, Yifkor Hashem, God should choose somebody deserving to take over from me, Moshe Rabbeinu was certain that the person that would be chosen would be his son. His son was qualified. Who is the one that God chose? He chose Yoshua. God tells him, nobody's there, nobody knows, there were no witnesses, this was done in the privacy of Moshe Rabbeinu and God themselves, nobody else. Moshe tells the people, Yoshua is the next leader. I can't imagine the buzz that existed then. I mean, surely they thought, and Moshe was called a Melech. It was not just a Manig and a Rebbe, he was called Melech Israel. It was the king. The king did not give over the mantle of leadership to his son, deserving and indeed as he was. Why? Because God told him. Moshe kibel Torah Misinai. Moshe received Torah at Sinai. How do you know? Umisorah Yoshua. Because he gave it to Yoshua. You want to know how he know how he has integrity? Because if he didn't have integrity, he would have given it to his son. Zelo tov, ze emet. Moshe Rabbeinu gave his life for this job. He understood the privilege to serve God. It was the most difficult job in the world. To be the Manig Israel, to keep them together. Blood, sweat, toil. He's ready to give his life. And with it, he understood the privilege. What more would he have wanted for his son? Not because of the title and the fame and the fortune, but the privilege, the personal growth, the schus, the merit to serve God at such a great level. Ladies and gentlemen, Yehoshua is your leader. It's a beautiful chazal. It says in the Yalkut Shimoni, the Medrash, that when he put his hands on Yehoshua, he laid his hands on him and gave from his greatness, he bestowed it upon him in his lifetime to show the people that he was his choice. And so he served with Moshe during Moshe's lifetime. Brilliant. He said, Baruch Hashem, Asher nasan Torah liYisrael ayidei Moshe Rabbeinu. What Moshe Rabbeinu said was, thank God who has given Torah to the Jews through Moshe Rabbeinu. And the question is, why does that have to do at that moment when he designates Yehoshua as the leader? And the answer is, it has everything to do. Because this was the confirmation in retrospect that for any of those lingering doubts that people might have had, that there was an ulterior motive, that maybe Moshe, you understand, falsified or fabricated, God forbid, something. It was at this time that he underscored Baruch Hashem. Thank God. Asher Nosan Torah LeYisrael Al Yidei Moshe Rabbeinu. It was given through Moshe. Not his Torah. It was God's Torah that was given through Moshe. This was the moment of authenticity, of proof. Huh? Serena said, lo tov? Tov mod. Okay. So very nice, another beautiful pshat. It says, Moshe kibel Torah misinai umisoro li Yoshua, and he gave it over to Yoshua. He gave it to Yeshua, and there were some other people that were there besides Yoshua. And who are they? This is Canaan. The elders. Yeshua was chosen and not this Canaan, not the elders. And so the commentary asks, why not? He says, the answer is, why did God Taka give Torah to Yeshua? Was he the greatest scholar? Yes or no? Does anybody know why the Medrash says he gave Torah to Yeshua? Why? Not alone. Not that alone. The Medrash has a story. Everything's a story. The Medrash says that when they got finished learning Beis Medrash, who cleaned up the Beis Medrash? Who set the tables? Who took out the time to go ahead and clear the floors and put back the Svarim on the shelves? Who do you think it was? It was Yoshua. Says the Medrash. Because he was the one that showed by his behavior and his conduct, he didn't feel it was beyond him to do what? It's not appropriate for him to go ahead and be a shamus. Pastor design a shamus. You know what a shamus is. You know what in English the word shamus is? Beetle. Not beetle. A beetle. B-E-A-D-L-E. When was the last time you heard that word? A beetle. He was a beetle. The Abishter saw in him the quality of who? Who did the Abishter see in Yoshua? The quality of who? The quality of his master Moshe. He saw that overriding humility. And he chose him to be the manik, the leader. And it said that there's a beautiful medrash. The medrash says that when Moshe Rabbeinu chose Yoshua and invested with him the leadership, it said the elders of the generation said, Pnei Moshe ke Pnei Chama. The face of Moshe is like the face of who? The sun. Pnei Yehoshua kin Pnei Levana. But the face of Yehoshua is like the face of the moon. Did you ever hear the saying, the man in the moon? There is. It says the face of the moon. After I got cataract surgery, I saw the face of the moon. For years, I couldn't see it. Then I got cataract surgery, and then my eyes were able to see again. And I could focus, and I could see the moon. There is an outline of an image of a face. It says, Pnei Chama, the face of the sun, is like the face of Moshe. And the face of the moon is like the face of Yoshua. The moon reflects the brilliance of the sun. Yoshua reflected the mastery, the quality of character of his who? Of his Rebbe Moshe. And what did they say? They said the face of Moshe is like the sun and the face of Yeshua is like the moon. Oy liyosa busha, woe to that busha. You know what the word busha means? Woe to that shame. So everybody asks, what do you mean woe to that shame? Shame that Yeshua is not as great as Moshe? So what? The student. So the commentary says, oy li busha to that busha. They said, woe to that pain. To that busha that we have now, that had we ourselves been the ones to clean up the Beis Medrash, we could have been the leaders. Oy, liyosa busha, woe to that busha, that shame, that position of leadership did not go on intellect. It didn't go on yichus. The leadership was chosen on the character of humility. Zoltir Vissin, you should know, the hallmark of all Jewish leadership throughout the entire generations has always been that God has chosen those that were humble. You want to know who's going to be the next Gadol Hador? The humblest person. Not the biggest Talmud Chacham, and not the biggest Yehab. It's the humblest person is the one that's going to be numero uno. the Eibishter seeks, kamayim yeher, like the waters and the depths of the waters, those are the people that are humble. Those are the ones the Eibishter gives his Torah to. Okay, a few more things. Oh, Yomar, another Shah Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai Misorah Yoshua, he gave it over to Yoshua. Moshe has suffered greatly. And to choose this job is unbelievably difficult. But the job had a perk. You know what the perk of the job is? That you have Talmidim, you have students. There is no Sipuk, there is no pleasure, no Tainig more than to have Talmidim, than to have students. Chazal say more than the calf wants to take the milk of the mother. The mother wants to do what? Nurse the calf. More pleasure and benefit than the calf has is the cow that gives the milk to the mother. As great as the student imbibes from the Torah of his Rebbe, it is the Rebbe that derives the greatest measure of pleasure from the privilege of being able to teach and to be able to learn, to have Talmidim. That's it. All the other difficulties, impediments, are totally, you understand, outweighed by this privilege. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, he received it, but part of that reception was the privilege to have a student like Yoshua. Like Serena said, Yoshua was always with him, day and night. He was his Talmud mover. He was his constant Talmud, who always sat at his feet. And therefore he says such a beautiful word. He says, if a person could go to heaven and see all the wonders, he would have no pleasure unless he can tell the people what he saw. He says, the tikvah, the hope is that when one learns, that he will be able to have students to whom to give to. And that's what it says to Tana, Moshe kibel Torah b'chefetz ko gadol. He received it with such passion because of Misorah Yoshua. He knew he would have whom to give it over to. I want to tell you a joke. Yeah. There was this Reform rabbi. And this Reform rabbi, you know, he would play golf on Yom Kippur. So as the joke goes, he went ahead and he went on the links to play golf on Yom Kippur. And in Shemayim, they conspired against him. Heaven, what did they do? He shot a hole in one. Yeah, every one of the 18 holes was a hole in one. Now go tell somebody. Go tell the story. What? You can eat you up. Zog Amundsen, tell somebody. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai umisara the Yoshua, but he gave it over to Yoshua. That was the godless, that was the greatness. Okay? I want to just share with you one more thought. I'm not going to leave you too long, much longer. I don't want to use up my welcome. It says, Moshe kibel Torah miSinai umisara the Yoshua. He gave it to Yoshua. Yeshua is not as great as Moshe. So it was Moshe kibel, Moshe received it at one level, umisara liYoshua. It was a process by which he was able to give it to him, but Yeshua was on a lower level. When it talks about Yoshua and this Kanim, there it doesn't say Yoshua gave it over to this Kanim. It says Yoshua this Kanim, there's a Kanim and Nevi'im. It doesn't talk about a transmission there, because they were on the equal level. There was no, you understand, basic difference. However, when you come to this Kanim and they're transferring Torah to the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, then from the prophets to the members of the Great Assembly, there was a great disparity in greatness. And so therefore, why did it have to say, Umisara? That was a process. That was already much more difficult. And that was Umisara. They had to give it over. They had to labor to go ahead and make that transfer to the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, to the members of the Great Assembly. I would just like to read for you what was in fact, you understand, the transmission, what was in fact the most important thing during this period of time of transition? Hey, Mamru, the members of the Great Assembly said, Hevi Mesunim Badin, you have to be deliberate in judgment. Vehemidu Talmidim Harbe, and establish for yourself many students. Vaasu Siog LaTorah, and make a boundary, a perimeter around Torah. In Me'etz Hashem, next week, I will share with you the beautiful insights and interpretations. Why what Mesunim Badin means, be deliberate in judgment. Is this talking about just judges in Israel? Or that it also refers to people themselves? V'amidl Tamidim Harbe. Is it only the idea that what? It's talking about heads of yeshivas? Or is it talking about lay people as well? There's very beautiful interpretation for Hemidu, Talmidim Harbe. Hemidu means to give them the ability to stand on their own, to give them independence. We'll talk about that. Vasu Siog LaTorah, the importance of making a perimeter, to making boundaries and fences for our observance. Is that only given to the Chachamim to do, the rabbis? Or this is also a mandate that each and every one of us have to find opportunity to find ways in which to protect our own observance and Shmiras HaMitzvahs. Mes Hashem, next week we'll go and talk about why these were chosen and what are the interpretations that went along with them.